If you guys don't bring it right here on azcardinals.com in a matter of moments, you're all done.
Cardinals Underground. Inside info brought to you by the insiders from inside team headquarters.
Coffee, sir.
With play-by-play radio announcer Dave Pasch, his partner analyst Ron Wolfley.
You got notes, Wolf?
Yeah.
Because last time we did this, you weren't very prepared. How about you, Pasch?
azcardinals.com reporter Darren Urban.
Darren Urban, are you ready to go?
I am ready.
And your host, radio sideline reporter Paul Calvisi.
Ball boy.
Presented by Ram. Guts, glory, Ram.
All right, it's part two of our Cardinals Underground, the video cast edition. And in case anybody's wondering, the guy in the black shirt is in charge. My name is Paul Calvisi, Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban. Yes, we're sort of in a round table, just think round here. But we started with general impressions, so let's go with general manager here to start in part two. Steve Keim is now in charge for real. And you guys are very familiar with Steve Keim. He's been around this building for a long time. So what do fans need to know about the Cardinals' new general manager?
Well, I mean, I think, and Dave was just talking about it off camera, I mean, number one, he came from scouting. He's a scout. He likes to watch film. He's going to know a lot about the players they're going to be drafting, especially. I think he knows what it takes to be a good football player. I think that's important. And I think he's anxious to have this chance. You know, I like the idea of having a guy like that, but being able to have somebody with, you at least have some continuity. You're not just blowing up the whole building to start over. You have a little bit of continuity. Keim understands who he's already got under the roof. You bring in the new coach. If it's all going to be kind of like co-decisions, like they keep saying that it's going to be, I think that helps them, because I think there's a good balance there of new thoughts coming in with a coaching staff, yet an idea of what's already in place and what can be done with the good pieces that are already here, because there are some good pieces on here.
Here's a guy who played the game, obviously, through the college level, a little bit of pro ball, and was a scout at the lowest level, worked his way all the way up. I mean, he did the planes, trains, and automobiles for years. I mean, at least when I talk to him, you get the sense he really knows what he's looking at when he looks at a player.
Absolutely, and I think Steve is a guy that, you know, I'm biased. I love Steve personally, as I know you guys do, and professionally, just looking at, you know, when I got here in 2002, he was one of the first guys that I met, and he was an area scout, and he worked his way up the ladder through hard work, and obviously people, not just in this organization, but around the league, felt that, you know, this guy could evaluate talent. And in talking with, you know, people that I would see at college games that worked for other teams would talk about Steve Keim. I remember John Gruden talking about Steve Keim and his talent. This was 4 or 5 years ago. And if the Cardinals didn't hire Steve Keim as their general manager, somebody else was going to. So I think that Michael Bidwell deserves a lot of credit, and this organization does, for keeping him. Because, you know, look at John Idzik. The Cardinals have had good people here. But with Rod Graves as general manager, there was no place for them to go. John Idzik left for Seattle. Now he's a general manager. And the word about Idzik when he was here was, this guy's an underrated talent guy. And people have talked around the league about Steve Keim in the same way, with the exception of being underrated. They just talked about him. He's a talent guy. He interviewed in St. Louis. He probably could have had the Jacksonville job this year. And I think if the Cardinals didn't make the move, he was going elsewhere. And that tells you how people around the NFL feel about him.
The first thing I would say is, philosophically, I think it's the most important hire that an owner is going to make, hiring your general manager. And the reason why, a lot of times today, at least in the NFL, two or three coaching hires are going to be made by a general manager for the most part. That's critical. I think we'd all agree who the head coach is going to be. Now, I know Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim, of course, worked hand in hand in the hiring of Bruce Arians, the head coach here. But there may be a day where Steve Keim basically is going to make the next hire at the head coach level for the Cardinals. So not only is a general manager going to be hiring the head guy for the most part, but also bringing in the players. And Steve Keim will be stocking this franchise with the talent going forward. He has been, to some degree, in charge of personnel, as we all know. He's been in charge of the drafts, the last couple of drafts. But overall, now he's going to be the guy that is going to be responsible for saying yes or no on every player the Arizona Cardinals bring into this organization. That's huge, especially from the standpoint that players win games.
The other thing, too, is I think Steve will be aggressive in the little things. When players get released mid-season by other teams, or hey, we've got to bring somebody in from the practice squad, or let's look at guys on practice squads of other teams. That hasn't always been the case here, but I think Steve will be very aggressive with that. And I think some of the players, Brian Hoyer, for example, you know, that was a guy that Steve and Jason Light really liked and felt, you know, we should bring him in because I think he fits here.
What kind of team you think he'll design? Will there be a personality to a Steve Keim acquisition? Do you think this team will have a certain brand, you know, a year or two from now?
I think he wants that. I don't think there's any question. I think he used the word identity a few times in the first few times that he spoke out publicly, and I don't think there's any question. I think one of the issues that this team had, especially offensively, was they couldn't find their identity. They had an identity with Kurt, and when Kurt retired, you know, and going back to what Dave said in the previous segment, you know, unfortunately, I think the previous regime kind of loved what we were doing, what this team was doing with Kurt and offensively, and when you didn't have a trigger man like that, instead of adapting and creating some kind of new identity that would fit better, they tried to stay with that. And I think not having the identity has really hurt them. He talked about being more physical up front. Again, I think this is all going to be a work in progress, because I think you got to figure out what Bruce Arians wants to do and likes to do, and whatever identity Steve Keim might want to put out there, if your coach isn't completely on board with it, or if your coach is, you know, crossways with it, it's not going to work. So they've got to figure out together, you know, exactly what it's going to be. But I do think there'll be more of a focus on whatever they choose it to be.
All right.
It's one of the reasons, Paul, I just want to jump in here and say I believe in stability and consistency. And hopefully Bruce Arians and his staff will have success here, because that will really help the general manager tenfold. Stop and think about it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, right? They've got personnel men, of course, in the front office who've done a great job for them. But one of the huge advantages that they've had is stability on that coaching staff for a long time, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where Dick LeBeau has been their defensive coordinator. The personnel men in charge in Pittsburgh know exactly the type of nose tackle they need for that defense. They know exactly the type of corner they need for that defense. They know exactly the type of rush outside linebacker / defensive end they need for that defense. Because of the stability and consistency there, that makes their job 10 times easier. What will it be in the immediate future? I do not know. But going forward, if you've got stability and you've got consistency, that's going to help Steve Keim and his personnel staff greatly.
I think there will be communication between personnel men and coaches on, hey, what type of player do you want? Let me help you. Instead of having coaches involved in the draft process, what sometimes happens in organizations, it's happened here, where coaches can be too involved because they're not evaluating these players daily like the personnel men are. But I think there'll be more communication where the personnel guys are going to the coaches, hey, what type of corner do you like? Who fits your system?
Yep.
So that on draft day, or when you're building your draft, you already know the guys, okay, these are the type of guys that we're going to draft over here. These are the type of guys we're not going to draft. I don't care how highly rated they are. They don't fit what we do.
You mentioned Dick LeBeau. Obviously, Ray Horton, right? I mean, very familiar. Bruce Arians, very familiar with Dick LeBeau. He has his own defensive coordinator. His name is Todd Bowles, and Darren, he was pretty forthcoming in the press conference, the opening press conference, Bruce Arians, and he said basically, hey, look, it had to be a team directed by me. There had to be one voice. So how drastic a change do you think this might be for the Cardinals, especially the defensive players?
You know what, I think there's a lot up in the air, and obviously Wolf brought it up on the last segment. I don't think there's any question as we sit here, if the quarterback is the number one thing that everybody's going to be looking at, the number two thing, and probably not that far behind given the success the defense had last year, was how does Todd Bowles impact this defense? Where does this defense go from here? I know there's a lot of teeth gnashing out there by the general public about, oh my God, Ray Horton's gone. Oh my God, Todd Bowles is here. I have 2 points to make to that. One, when Todd Bowles struggled as defensive coordinator, his first chance at being defensive coordinator, struggled last year in Philadelphia, that is true. But he came in midseason. He came into a team that was already circling the drain, that everybody knew Andy Reid was going to be fired at the end of the season. Those are pretty impossible circumstances to succeed very well in. Number two, I understand, and don't get me wrong, I think a lot of players here loved Ray Horton, loved playing for him on the defensive side of the ball. But, and I have not talked to them about this subject, but I find it hard to believe that Patrick Peterson is going to go into his bathroom and scream into the mirror because, oh my God, I thought I was one of the greatest cornerbacks in the league, and now Ray Horton's gone, and now I'm not going to be? You think Darrell Washington sitting back Calais Campbell. I think a couple guys are going to be happy if they go in a different direction, Darnell Dockett. But I also think that I think these guys are good enough that they're going to sit there and say, you know, Ray did a great job, but it was us making the plays. Why don't you give us a little credit here? Why don't you give us this chance to show what we can do regardless of the coordinator? I think that's going to be play into this a little bit.
I think Todd Bowles is well-respected around the NFL. I think you ask people that cover the NFL regularly, ask other coaches. You know, this is a guy that, you know, he's very well thought of around the league. And to Darren's point, I don't think players care who their coordinator is if they believe that he can make them better.
Agreed.
Make them money and get them wins. That's what I think players care about, winning and getting paid. And I think if it's Todd Bowles, Ray Horton, or Wolf coaching them, all right, Todd Bowles or Ray Horton.
Yeah, okay. That was yeah.
The key to me, though, was when Bruce Arians says we're going to have an attacking, aggressive defense. So I think the mentality will be the same.
Oh, no, absolutely. And Todd Bowles, too, a couple of things on him. First of all, I played against Todd Bowles when he was with Temple University.
Really?
Every year at West Virginia University. West, by God, Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, I played against him going all the way back to Temple, of course. And then he was with the Washington Redskins for eight of the 10 years he was in the league, and twice a year we would play. Todd Bowles was a player, first and foremost. That's what you need to know about Todd Bowles. This guy would knock your face off and do it with malice. And I think that's going to score him a lot of points with the players, just like it did with Ray Horton. I think that was a big component of who Ray Horton was and why he was eventually able to reach a lot of the players on the defensive side of the ball. Todd Bowles will be given that same courtesy. He'll be given that same grace. Is there going to be a process where Todd Bowles is going to have to come in and earn the trust of these players? You better believe it. Just the way that it was for Ray Horton. When Ray Horton came in here, suddenly he was installing defenses that had not been run here. He was using players in different ways that they were not accustomed to or comfortable with, and that took a toll on the defense in the first half of the season 2 years ago. Then we all know what happened. Trust is what happened there. And suddenly the players started trusting him, trusting the scheme, trusting the knowledge. They went out and played. And I think they'll learn a lesson from that experience, and it will be a benefit when Todd Bowles comes walking in those doors.
And one other small point about all this, when everybody says, Todd Bowles, how could you replace Ray Horton with Todd? Todd Bowles was one of the guys Ken Wisenhunt interviewed for defensive coordinator at the same time he ended up hiring Ray Horton. Bowles was in that mix. So it's not like he's coming out of nowhere.
Well, Dave, I'll say this as we wrap up. You know, Wolf won't be the only guy showing emotion wearing a Cardinals golf shirt. You know, Bruce Arians admitted in his press conference, quote, "I don't mind showing emotion. I see it as a strength, not weakness. I never lay up. I hit a lot of balls in the water. That's the way I coach, and that's the way I live." I think it'd be very intriguing, dare I say, almost entertaining for us covering the team, Darren, just to see it's going to be a different personality running this team.
The first thing I think of when I hear those quotes, I mean, I think I agree with it because I'm a fan of that kind of approach. I think to all the fans that have complained all these years about Wisenhunt not showing enough emotion, you're going to get it now, so we'll see how it plays out.
Get ready for the message board guy to start telling you, "I can't stand the fact that Bruce Arians is so emotional." Ready for that.
All that matters is if they win.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, if he's emotional, not emotional, you know, people didn't mind Ken Wisenhunt during the 2 year playoff run, the fact that he was even keel. If Bruce Arians is emotional and the Cardinals win, fans will come and support the Cardinals. And I'm bullish on where things are going. I think the biggest obstacle the Cardinals face, well, first quarterback, but the next biggest obstacle is the division. You've got a very good division. Your schedule, you've got two playoff teams and an improving St. Louis Ram team that you have to face twice a year. That's a problem. And if you have the right quarterback, though, starting at that position, you can still win this division. The Cardinals, again, I keep going back to this. I don't think it was smoke and mirrors. This team was 4-0. It's hard to win four games in a row in the NFL. especially to start a season. The Cardinals did that, beating two playoff teams, including one on the road during that span.
One thing I want to say, the final thing I guess I want to say about Bruce Arians is I did a ton of research when the Cardinals hired Bruce Arians. I know him by reputation, as many of us do. But I talked to some players, guys who actually played for him. I talked to coaches that have actually coached with Bruce Arians. Had an opportunity to even visit with Oliver Luck, so to speak, right, about that. And to me, again, the thing that keeps coming back is he is a coach first. And I love that. He is a coach first. All these guys, every one of them that I talked to, said that he will get right down the middle of you. As a coach to a player, he will get right down the middle of you. He will hold you accountable, and then he will be the first guy to hug you when you come walking off the field because you did it right. That is coaching. You need to harness that emotion, and that's the one thing I think Bruce Arians understands.
I think we covered everything on the game plan here. Darren, what do you think over there?
I think it works.
Since I'm the de facto guy in charge wearing the black shirt, we're in a coaching room. I'm thinking maybe you guys need to go out and start your off-season training program. Wolf, a few sprints after this just for a good old day's sake. What do you think about that?
You don't have a candy bar, do you, Paul?
Exactly.
I don't know that Wolf can jog, much less sprint.
Is there an off-season regimen for Wolf anymore? How does that work exactly?
I'm actually going to go do some Romanian deadlifts right now.
I see. For Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfe, Darren Urban, I'm Paul Calvisi. AZCardinals.com. This has been Cardinals Underground. Yes, the video cast edition.